I don't think we've got any admin matters this morning, or this afternoon, sorry. So we'll get straight to business. I should say, firstly, Happy New Year to the Interpretations Committee. Thank you all for joining. And then straight to business, and handing over to Javid.
Thank you. So we will move on to Agenda Paper 2 on contributing PP&E to an associate. The committee discussed this request at its meeting in September and published a tentative agenda decision. We received 6 comment letters, which are reproduced in Appendix B. 5 respondents agreed with the committee's decision not to add the matter to a standard-setting agenda for the reasons outlined in the tentative agenda decision. The 6th respondent also agrees with the committee's analysis and conclusions, but expressed concerns about 2 aspects of the tentative agenda decision. The respondent's concerns, together with our analysis, is discussed in paragraphs 9 to 22. I would like to highlight what we say in paragraph 21 of the paper. We think the committee's observation in question A of the agenda decision does not influence or affect the committee's previous discussions on the common control acquisition transaction, nor therefore does it influence any future discussions the board may have on this matter. That is because when discussing the common control acquisition transaction, committee members agreed that an entity does not apply the scope exception in IFRS 3 by analogy. Based on our analysis, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision with no changes. The proposed agenda decision is outlined in Appendix A. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision.
Okay, so opening up to committee members, maybe first, is there anybody in the room, the easiest population for me to target, who've got any comments they want to make?
I'll go first then. So I agree with the staff in connection with issue A, that this doesn't have a carryover into what we have talked about previously. My sense, I think, in connection with the third question around the basis on which the gain might be calculated, I think my sense is before the committee's discussions, I still think there might have been more than one way to look at the literature. I don't object to where the committee has landed, and that it potentially narrows what might have been more than one way to look at the literature. I'm perhaps a little bit nervous that it might lead you in a very narrow subset of situations to end up measuring a transaction using a level 3 fair value of the assets, where you might have a level 1 fair value of the equity interest that you get back. But I would hope people using what is in the agenda decision or the paper might be able to work around that, although I still wonder about that. I think I probably share the concern of one of the comment letters that the agenda decision says this is what you do, but doesn't say why. And I think I don't object to the conclusion and that it narrows the options. I think I would prefer that it explained why.
But if my memory serves me well, the reason why it doesn't say why is because there was a variety of reasons for the committee getting to that outcome, right? So that we decided, when we put the draft out, at least, that was
the best. Okay. I guess my thoughts are, is if someone's looking at this, a lot of the guidance, whether it's the standards or what we say, there's a principle that sits there, and that principle can be used both in this exact fact pattern and maybe there's a similar fact pattern. But what's not there is the principle that's underpinning the answer that might make it helpful, might help people to use it.
Yeah. Andrew, did you want to add something?
Well, part of it will be to agree, part of it maybe to add. On the first point on the acquisition under common control, like Tony, I don't think there's any effect of the decision not to analogize. That's perhaps because I was one of those who felt that you could read paragraph 26 of IS 28 and get directly to that answer, so I wasn't analogizing anything. The only thing I wondered whether at this stage it might be helpful to refer back to the committee's previous discussions, not just the September 17 one, but the earlier one, so that people are given a little bit of an audit trail of where this has come from. And also, because we can refer them to previous discussions, there's almost something where we're nudging them and saying, and it's not the end of the game, so keep an eye on it. So that might be quite helpful to constituents, just to keep this on their agenda. On the other point that Tony raised on we're told what but not why, I also wondered whether there was any of the literature we might refer to which might help people understand why we got to that answer. I appreciate there were a variety of different views that were expressed by committee members. The agenda decision lands in one particular approach, and there are elements in the literature that might be able to be picked up which could perhaps point people in that direction.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now I'll look at the video screens. If anybody wants to say something, if you could put up your hand, and then I'll try and bring you in. Nobody on the screen wants to come in. Okay. Bertrand?
Just to mention the fact that thanks, Jawad, for the explanation provided on paragraph 21. And I think that I'm pretty much in agreement with your statements, and I don't therefore have no objection on the agenda decision being released as stated, even though it will be useful to follow up in the future the board's decisions relating to, I don't know if I can mention it that way, but the scope of the BCUCC project, and to see whether any equity interest methods transactions among entities under common control or common in a common environment would end up with a specific technical conclusion. And as for such, I understand that it's not strictly a transaction, it's the forming of a new entity, so I don't object with the agenda decision.
Thank you, Bertrand. Staying with the videos for a moment, anybody else on video who wants to come in? I don't see any takers, in which case I'll move to the telephone. And maybe I'll go through one by one and see if you want to come in. Reinhard?
Thanks, Sue. I guess I do have a bit of a concern with respect to question A as to whether the wording could be read to indirectly apply to the climate control acquisition transactions that we discussed in that at our last meeting. And so my personal preference would be to restrict this to the specific fact pattern, and noting that in this specific fact pattern, for the type of transaction that is being contemplated, neither IS 16 or 28 have any specific exclusions for climate control transactions, and therefore you should not apply by analogy the scope exception in IFRS 3. As I say, it's just that's my personal preference. I do have a bit of a worry that this language could be read more broadly, and I think the commentator that wrote in similarly had a concern based on the way they read it. And so that, as I say, that would be my personal preference.
Okay, thank you, Reinhardt. Bonnie, did you want to add anything, Bonnie or Sandy?
This is Bonnie. I don't have anything to add. I agreed with where the staff had gotten to in terms of the conclusion.
Okay,
Sandy. I agree with the conclusion. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. And with that, I don't see any other. Young Sue's disappeared, okay. I can't do much, but okay, thanks. You might come back on. Petrina, did you want to respond to any of the points that have been raised?
I suppose that I was just going to say maybe just try and respond a bit and say maybe at least as a starting point we wouldn't be inclined, you know, to change what's proposed in the agenda decision. So let me first of all address the question then maybe what Reinhardt was said. I suppose the reason it's worded in this way, first of all, is that we were trying to respond to the way the submitter had asked the question. And I suppose what was in the tentative agenda decision and what flows through here reflects the committee's discussions last time, and I think to us as we articulated, in our view, reflects the requirements in IS 8 and how they get applied, and hopefully doesn't go further than is appropriate, but goes as far as is appropriate in simply saying that if a transaction fits within the scope of a standard and there are requirements there, that in the absence of a specific scope exclusion, then you apply those applicable requirements. In the context of question three and maybe some of the comments that have been raised by, you know, by Tony and maybe Andrew and obviously in the comment letters, when we discussed this in September, actually, it's only a reminder and only to say I'm not sure what we could do, I suppose, in response to your comments, which is when we drafted the paper in September, obviously, we had set out our view that reached this conclusion with very, very closely following through the particular requirements in the standards. And actually, when we put a draft tentative agenda decision in that September paper, we had also included more words than this. We had explained with very direct links to particular requirements, sort of the sport to get to this conclusion that you know, use the fair value of the PP&E. Obviously, the discussion that we had at the committee said the committee members were very comfortable with the conclusion. However, they had maybe, you know, referred into particular requirements, perhaps in a different order or in a different way. So at least our conclusion then, and I haven't worked out a way of doing it otherwise, or we haven't, is to say is that we were all comfortable with spelling out the conclusion, but we couldn't reach, in trying to provide more direct links maybe to the requirements to get there. Yeah.
So we went as far as we thought we could.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that came up in a couple of comments that people raised was a reminder, it might be useful to remind people about the ongoing work the board's doing that sort of ties in with your tee-up, Javid, which was raised by one of the comment letters and other committee members. Mm. I don't think we can really put that in an agenda decision, which is meant to have a longer life, but an update perhaps we should make, remind people of that ongoing stream of work that's continuing separately from the agenda decision, and maybe that would be at least helpful for the market. Yeah. With that, could we take a vote on whether we're happy to proceed with the agenda decision as set out in the paper? Get firstly a show of hands from people in the room and on the screen. Ten. And on the phone, Bonnie?
My hand is raised.
Okay, thank you. So it's 11. Reinhardt?
I don't object.
In fact, that is a sort of yes. And Sandy?
My hand is up.
Okay, great. So that's 13. Thank you.
Yeah. And I should relay, by the way, obviously it's not counted in the votes, but Mikhail, in sending his apologies, also noted in words in an email that he supported the staff conclusions and the recommendations. But obviously, just to make clear, that won't be counted in the votes, but I think worth noting.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. All right, so